Christ is risen.
Indeed.
It's third Sunday of Easter here, and there's a lot of things going on in this gospel. A lot that could be said, and I'm not going to try to say it all. But there's a lot that could be said, and I want to really focus on the end of that gospel here. The disciples had been fishing with our Lord, who the next morning magically is on the shore while the disciples are still out in the boat. He calls out to them. They don't realize it's him. He tells them to throw the net over the other side. They catch a huge net full of fish. They drag it in. Our Lord already has a fire going, prepared for breakfast, a charcoal fire, John tells us. That's an important detail we'll come back to. And at breakfast, our Lord asks Peter these questions. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. And if that's all we were to read, we would lose something important here, and this is why at the seminary they make us learn Latin and Greek and Hebrew, because you need to look at the original language sometimes. And when you look at the original Greek, that's not what's being said. This is something very interesting. There are a few different words that are used in Greek to describe the word love. A few different words for love that could all legitimately be translated as love in the English, but in the Greek they mean different things. There's one word, agape, which means like a self-sacrificing, self-giving type of love, the type of love that God has for each and every one of us. Agape, right? Agape type of love. There's another type of love, philia. You hear like Philadelphia, right? The city of brotherly love. Philia is like a brotherly love. Philia, it's love, but it's not the same type of love. It's more of a brotherly type of, we're kind of looking out for each other, we're kind of fond of each other, but not so much a self-giving, a self-sacrificing type of love. There are two others that are used, we're not going to get into them, because it's those two words that's actually being used here in those three questions. Because Jesus says to Peter, Simon, son of John, agapas, he's putting it in the second person singular, agapas, do you love me with the agape type of love? Agapas me, do you love me with agape type of love? And Peter answers, philo se, I love you with the philia type of love. Jesus is saying agapas, Peter's saying philo, right? Do you love me with agape type of love? Peter says, I love you with philia type of love. Now, imagine how odd that must have sounded. In English, it sounds perfectly normal. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Imagine if in English we had different words to use. Imagine how weird that would sound. If someone asks you a question, you answer with a different verb that kind of means the same thing. If someone did that in English, you would say, well, that's not what I'm asking. Do you love me? Well, yeah, I'm fond of you. Well, I'm not asking that. Do you love me? Well, yeah, I'm fond of you. That's not what's being asked, right? Our Lord is saying, agapas me. Yes, filiose. A second time, agapas me. Yes, filiose. The third time, there's something interesting going on here that I want to zoom in on. The third time, our Lord kind of lowers the standard. He had been asking in those first two times, do you love me with this agape type of love? And Peter kept answering those first two times, I love you with this philia type of love. The third time, our Lord kind of lowers the bar and says, filies me. Do you love me with that philia type of love? And our first pope, Peter here, says, yes, filiose. I do love you with that philia type of love. And there's something sad going on here, but there's also something very beautiful. The sad thing is this. Our Lord is calling Peter to love him with this great type of love. And thankfully, Peter is at least being honest with our Lord here and telling him, no, I really don't have that type of love for you. Not yet. I really don't. And again, thank God he's not lying. He's being honest with the Lord. He's saying, no, you're calling me to this type of love. I don't have that yet. Right? The beautiful thing about what's going on here is that our Lord takes what Peter is able to give. He meets Peter where he's at, so to speak, to use poor grammar. He meets Peter where he's at, takes what he is able to give. So our Lord is calling Peter to this agape type of love. He takes the philia type of love that all Peter is able to give him. Now, we also know the end of the story. This is the third time after our Lord, third time after the resurrection that our Lord appeared to his disciples. We know that 30 years later, Peter would end up ultimately getting that agape type of love for our Lord and ultimately laying down his life and becoming a martyr as the first pope. And Jesus even alludes to that at the end of the gospel. He says, "Amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself, go where you wanted, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And John says that our Lord said this to signify what kind of death Peter would experience. And we know Peter experienced crucifixion around the year 60 AD, that ultimately Peter did get that type of love that our Lord was calling him to have. Ultimately, Peter did finally have that self-sacrificing type of love. So all is well in the end. But there's so much that we can get out of this, because I think what we can see here is that our Lord calls us to a very high standard. And yet, he also knows that at times perhaps we're not able to give that. And he takes what we are able to give him. He again, to use poor grammar, he meets us where we're at. Right? I was having a conversation with someone recently who was a little upset. They thought, and you can't blame them because the media tells them this kind of stuff, they thought that the Catholic Church was not welcoming to certain groups of people. And they had asked me, why doesn't the church welcome this type of people or this type of people or this type of people? And I said, where do you get that? I said, we welcome everyone. And they actually said, well, you don't put it on your sign, like all are welcome. And I said, well, you know, we don't have one of those changing kinds of signs. We can put some cute little quip on it. Maybe we should. But I said, yes, all are welcome at the Catholic Church. I said, there is a caveat, though. All are welcome to come as they are. You could be the biggest sinner in the world, and you are welcome in the Catholic Church. You could be struggling with the worst kind of things in the world. All are welcome at the Catholic Church. All are welcome to come as they are, but no one is welcome to stay as they are. Not you, not me, not the Pope. No one is welcome to stay as they are and just to have their entire lifestyle rubber stamped by the Church as if that's our job. Right? All are welcome to come as they are. No one is welcome to stay as they are. And we see that in the gospel. The Lord meets Peter where he is. The Lord meets Peter where he is, and yet he is calling him to something higher. The Lord doesn't just say, well, Peter, that's all you're able to give me. That's fine. Okay, good enough. You know. No, our Lord is calling him to this higher type of love. You know, in that first reading we heard from the Acts of the Apostles, we see this is after the resurrection, and the disciples have gone out, and the church has been founded by our Lord on the apostles. The apostles go out, and already they're being dragged in, and they're questioned, and they said, we told you to stop teaching. Why are you not listening to us? And they say, we must obey God rather than men. We must do what God tells us to do rather than what society tells us to do. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing some of our Protestant brothers and sisters, but again, the point of the Catholic Church is not just to rubber stamp your lives. That's not the point of church. If you want that, go to any of the other churches in the area. If you want to be divorced and remarried and still come to communion, go to any of those other churches. If you want to not just struggle with a same-sex attraction, but have zero regard for the Catholic Church's teaching and actively live that lifestyle, go to any of the other churches, right? If you're willing to be challenged, if you think it's okay to just miss Mass on Sunday every once in a while, go to any of those other churches and they'll say, sure, that's fine. No, in the Catholic Church we say, look, you need to get married in the church. And if you're not married in the church, you need to refrain from communion until we get that marriage validated in the church before the eyes of God. We say, if you struggle with same-sex attraction, that's fine, that's not your fault, but you can't act on that because no one, heterosexual or homosexual, can have relations outside of marriage. We say, you need to come to Mass every single Sunday, every single holy day of obligation. We challenge, it's hard to be a Christian, it's hard to be a Catholic. Our job is not just to rubber stamp people's lives, we must obey God rather than men. If you want, and I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir because you guys are the ones here, but if people want a church that will just rubber stamp their lives, that will just conform to what society says, that will obey men rather than God, go to any of those other churches and I guarantee you'll find it. But here in the Catholic Church, all are welcome. We meet people where they're at, but we love them too much to leave them where they're at. And my job, following in the footsteps of the apostles, is to obey God rather than men, to not be concerned with what people happen to think about me as a priest or the truth that I'm preaching, but to say, I need to obey God, and if that means that people get mad at me, fine. I need to obey God. I need to love you so much to not want to leave you where you're at. To accept you where you are, absolutely. But then to call you to that deeper love that Christ is calling Peter to, that Christ calls all of us to. Right? And I'd wrap up with just something about the second reading. We heard from the book of Revelation, John has this vision of heaven, and he hears all of these living creatures, the angels, the elders, crying out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing." That's how we approach church as Catholics. We don't go to church because we get something out of it. We go to church because Christ is worthy, God is worthy of our worship. We have an obligation to worship God in the way that he wants to be worshiped. Something else that kind of drives me nuts as priest is when people say, "Well, I don't go to Catholic Church anymore because, you know, I wasn't getting anything out of it. I wasn't being fed. It didn't meet my me." And I want to say, that has nothing to do with it. What you get out of it is secondary. Yes, it's wonderful when we go to Mass and we get some kind of spiritual high or we get something out of it, but that's not the point. That's all secondary. The primary reason we go to church, we go to Catholic Church, is to worship God in the way that he wants to be worshipped. And, by the way, you do get something out of it that you don't get at any other church, namely the Blessed Sacrament, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You get that only in a Catholic Church. So yeah, you are getting something out of it that you don't get anywhere else. But we need to keep all of this in mind. I think the Church is trying to tell us something very important today, that yes, God is willing to meet us wherever we are at. Everyone is welcome here at the Catholic Church. But no one, not you, not me, no one is welcome to come as we are and to stay as we are. We're all welcome to come to be challenged, right? To obey God rather than secular trends, right? Our job is to come to worship God in the way that he wants, to receive the Blessed Sacrament, which we can only receive here in the Catholic Church. To live that type of life like Peter, where by the end of our lives, we can have that agape type of love. Maybe we don't have it right now. I often wonder if I have that right now. I often wonder if my love for God is that pure type of love, or are there still hints in my own life of self-love? But we're all called to purify that by coming here, by obeying God, not men, by receiving the Blessed Sacrament, and by being led to love our Lord with that agape type of love. Christ is risen.
Indeed.